कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बालव गिरवारे हरि। गोपी जन बालव गिरवारे हरि। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन। यमुन तीर वन तारी यमुन तीर वन तारी।
Pad Paramahamsa Parvaja Kachara Satara Sadashi Shrimad Vyangrace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. All glorious to Simple Devotees, all glorious to Simple Devotees, all glorious to Simple Devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sampadaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamina Namasi Sarasatadev Gauravani Kacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachari Sitarane. So, by a strange coincidence, the lecture for tonight's class is called Cow Protection Vedic Culture. So we'll continue that theme and talk a little bit more about cow protection. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm going to read a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 8, Chapter 8. The chapter is called The Churning of the Milk Ocean. And this is text 11. I'll just read it through. I don't think we have it up here. Abhishechanika Bhumir Aharat Sakulo Sadi Gava Pancha Pavitrani Vasanto Madhu Madhavau. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered five products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha. Purport. Panchagavya, the five products received from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, are required in all ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic directions. Cow urine and cow dung are uncontaminated. Since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we could just imagine how important this animal is for human civilization. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna directly advocates Goraksha, the protection of cows. Civilized men who follow the system of Varnashram, especially those of the Vaishya class, who engage in agriculture and trade, must give protection to the cows. Unfortunately, because people in Kali Yuga are Manda, all bad, and Sumanda Mataya, misled by false conceptions of life, they are killing cows in the thousands. Therefore, they are unfortunate in spiritual consciousness, and nature disturbs them in so many ways, especially through incurable diseases like cancer and through frequent wars among nations. As long as human society continues to allow cows to be regularly killed in the slaughterhouses, there cannot be any question of peace and prosperity. Hare Krishna. So today, of course, we had the inauguration of the Goshala, the beginning of that very, very important project in New Ramanreti. This is something that's been a long time coming here, and we certainly have a certain amount of facility here, which allows us, to some degree, to be able to become involved in this cow protection. Of course, this is a very essential part of Vedic culture. And I want to talk a little bit about how cow protection is a part of this Varnashram society or Vedic culture and how it plays a role in Krishna consciousness. So in this verse today, in this purport, this word panchagavya is mentioned, which are the five products of the cow. And I think in some of the readings that Mother Mukhi was just doing, that was also mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says in this purport, if even the cow urine and the cow dung are so important, if those are such valuable and pure commodities, what to speak of everything else? What to speak of the milk and the butter and the ghee and the yogurt and sour cream and milk sweets and everything else that we get from wonderful foodstuffs offered to Krishna that come from the cow? So the cow is particularly required in Vedic society. First of all, of course, it has great economic value for these different products that are there. Secondly, it's also necessary for the ingredients of sacrifice, and that's what's often mentioned in the scriptures, and why the cow is so closely connected with the Brahmins. So sometimes we talk about the cow being essential for Brahminical culture. And part of the reason for that is if you notice in any of the different ceremonies and sacrifices that are done, or any of the bathing ceremonies for the deities, or the fire yajnas that we perform, these ingredients like milk and yogurt, and especially ghee, which is offered to the sacrificial fire, are absolutely essential. So without the products that come from Mother Cow, the Brahmins would not be able to even perform their yajnas and their sacrifice and worship properly. We would not be able to properly worship the deity without the products from the cows. So the cow and the bull are considered to be symbols of religion. We know that sometimes the Mother Earth, the Earth planet, takes the form. She's called Bhumi. She often takes the form of a cow. So the cow is personified Earth, or Mother Earth, and the bull is considered to be the personification of Dharma, of religious principles. So we have the whole principle of the Earth and our harmony with the Earth and the principles of religion both together there in the cow and the bull. So these two are very, very essential in human society, and it's particularly in any type of religious or spiritual culture. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 357, the cow is the most important animal for developing the human body to perfection. The body can be maintained by any kind of foodstuff, but cow's milk is particularly essential for developing the finer tissues of the human brain so that one can understand the intricacies of transcendental knowledge. Now, this is interesting. So Prabhupada is saying even to understand spiritual knowledge, the essence of the cow, the milk that is produced, is important for developing those brain tissues. Yeah. A civilized man is expected to live on foodstuffs comprising of fruit, vegetables, grains, sugar, and milk. The bull helps in the agriculture process of producing grains, etc. And thus, in one sense, the bull is the father of humankind, whereas the cow is the mother, for she supplies milk into human society. A civilized man is therefore expected to give all protection to the bulls and the cows. So it's mentioned that there are several different mothers in the Vedic literature. There's one's own mother, the nurse, the wife, the wife of the guru, the teacher, Mother Earth, and also the cow. So just as the mother gives milk to the child, the cow, in the same way as all of our mothers, continues to give that milk to us. that's so valuable in so many ways, and particularly this idea of increasing the brain tissues and therefore augmenting the intelligence of human beings. So Prabhupada also mentioned another very, very important point in this purport, and that is, what is sort of the opposite side of it, or what is, if we are not protecting cows, what is the response or what is the reaction? We know that from the laws of karma, whatever activities we perform, we gain some result, either positive or negative, from those activities. Now, this applies to us individually. We know that if we perform sinful activities, there will be some negative result. There may be some lower birth in the next lifetime. Conversely, if we commit or we perform positive activities, pious activities, then there is a higher birth, or there is positive things that happen in one's life. It may be due to one's particular position or career, or is born with intelligence, born with money, etc., due to those positive activities that lead to good karmic results. Now, this also happens on a more large scale. While it happens on the microcosm with the individual, it also happens in the macrocosmic level with nations and cultures and societies. There's sort of a collective karma that comes about from the activities of any society. And whatever types of activities that are being performed, if those are religious or non-religious, there will be some subsequent reaction that will be experienced. Prabhupada mentioned in this purport that we just read a couple of these types of reactions. He mentioned things like widespread diseases like cancer. And he also mentioned things like war that we experience throughout human history. That these are actually results of sinful activities, and one of the primary activities that causes these reactions is the cruel killing of animals, particularly the cow. So sometimes we may think that there's no real reaction, or, well, maybe it's a good thing to do, but what is the actual result? The actual result is our whole human society is put in a very terrible condition, and we continue to gain reactions from those activities of cow killing. Here's a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1968. Satsvarup had written to him about protests in the Vietnam War. And he had mentioned how some of the students were occupying buildings, and there was all this foment, and there was all of this upheaval. Some of us are old enough to remember those days when there were so many protests about Vietnam. And this is interesting what Srila Prabhupada responded to. He said, "This political struggle is the reaction of karma. Both the opposing parties, namely the students who have taken shelter in the churches and the government force which is coming to arrest them, both of them are in the same category. Because if it were a question of meat eating or supporting the slaughterhouse, both of them would agree." So Srila Prabhupada is saying, superficially, they look like they're on diametrically opposed side. One side's for peace, one side's for war. But Prabhupada said, if they're both supporting slaughterhouses and meat eating, then they're really on the same side. They're not really that different. So the present situation is a reaction to man's sinful activities. We especially recommend that people restrain themselves from the four kinds of primary sinful activities, namely illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. But all of these fighting people are 100% addicted to all of these habits. So if they are serious about mitigating the unpalatable situation of society, they must agree to accept Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there's no possibility of peace in the world. So in many different places, Srila Prabhupada told us that the response to these activities like cow killing are that we have to suffer the same type of reaction of being killed ourselves, and that often is takes place through the many, many wars that we have. I was reading somewhere that someone had calculated over the last 5,000 years how many years in human history that there was not a major war. And it was very small. There was like maybe 100 years or something out of 5,000 when there wasn't some major conflict going on in the world. So we see that this is happening continually. There is constant conflict, there's constant strife. Even though people think that the standard of living has increased so much, health has increased, there's so many advances in medicine, yet we still see that people are still suffering just the same. And they may be able to eliminate you know, plagues or so many diseases like this, but yet now we have, you know, the incident of cancer and strokes and heart disease and things like that are rising more and more. So despite all of our scientific and materialistic effort, there's no real relief from the suffering that human beings are experiencing, because these are responses and reactions to sinful activity. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that the killing of the cow is the most egregious of these activities, which is causing these types of reactions. So what can we do? Well, you can all donate to the Goshal now. that's a beginning. But basically, when we talk about Vedic culture, Varnashram culture, it's based upon a very clear principle. And Srila Prabhupada actually used these words and mentioned this principle many, many times. He called it the principle of simple living and high thinking. I'm sure we've all heard that. It's very catchy. You know, there was a really nice song, wasn't it? Mangala Nanda wrote the song, Simple Living and High Thinking. And, you know, it's very captivating, this idea, because it naturally captivates our hearts into what we know intrinsically to be true. We know that the purpose of life is not to become more and more entangled in this materialistic civilization, to accept different degrees and increasing degrees of sense gratification as being the all in all, as being what will give us real satisfaction and happiness, but we know that there must be an alternative. And Srila Prabhupada came and gave us that alternative of how we could lead a much more simple life, much more in tune with nature, much more in harmony with God's plan, and at the same time, with the deepest philosophical realization. And knowing what our real purpose in life was and how we can solve the real problems of life through this Krishna consciousness. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is from, I don't know where. I lost the reference, but trust me. Srila Prabhupada said, it is by the ignorance only that people think that by opening factories that they will be happy. Why should they open factories? There is no need. There is so much land, and one can produce one's own food grains and eat sumptuously without any factory. Milk is also available without a factory. The factory cannot produce milk or grains. The present scarcity of food in this world is largely due to such factories. When everyone is working in the city to produce nuts and bolts, who will produce food grains? Simple living and high thinking is the solution to the economic problems. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is engaging devotees in producing their own food and living self-sufficiently, so that rascals may see how one can live very peacefully, eat the food grains that one has grown oneself, drink milk, and chant Hare Krishna. Simple process, right? Drink milk, eat food grains, and chant Hare Krishna. That reminds me, of course, Prabhupada emphasized the taking of prasadam so much, and how this was really the key to people beginning the Krishna consciousness. So many people don't really have so much intelligence, or they don't maybe have the patience for studying philosophy, or they may just not be able to grasp the intricacies of this Krishna consciousness philosophy, but everyone can take prasadam. Everybody can enjoy this nice prasadam, which is given through grains and milk, and because that sanctified foodstuff purifies the heart when spiritual life is begun. So, of course, we have so many examples of how Prabhupada told us this. And, of course, when we were in Miami in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture under the banyan trees in Coconut Grove. I've told the story before, but different audience here. But in a very, very beautiful setting in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada said, actually, all of you have come to this Krishna conscious movement because of prasadam. He turned to the temple president, Abhiram, and he said, you too, you have also come because of prasadam. So we may think it's due to our intellect or our, you know, some pious activity or, you know, all of our wonderful qualities that we were able to take to this movement. But actually the sanctified foodstuff is so powerful in bringing people to this platform of accepting spiritual life. So to make a culture successful? There must be an economic basis, there must be a social basis, there must be a political basis, and of course there must be a spiritual basis. So all of these things must be there. Of course, in one sense, all we need is spiritual life and chanting Hare Krishna. But on the other hand, there's an entire culture, there's a society here. What are we going to do with them? Everybody has to have a way to live. All societies organize themselves in a certain way. Therefore, how should society be best organized? Well, one way that the devotees always start from is think, what is it that Krishna wants? So this Varnashram system is given to us by Krishna. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna mentions that it is the Varnashram, the division of society into occupation and into different statuses of life, like brahmachari, householder, etc. This is actually Krishna's plan. And particularly when we add the word Daivi Varnashram to that, then where, in other words, everything is centered around Krishna, then there can be a perfect society and a perfect culture for realizing our purpose in life and realizing Krishna and getting out of the suffering of this material world to go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada often talked about this idea of Vedic culture and Varnashram and cow protection and almost used them simultaneously. So, of course, there are distinctions, and it can be a very complex topic and a complex subject. Sometimes we might even have the considerations or the thoughts, well, how much is Krishna consciousness dependent upon a particular cultural setting? Ultimately, it isn't. Ultimately, the devotee is transcendental to any cultural or social situations and is content simply to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in whatever way is possible. But if one is a little bit intelligent, and one understands the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Srila Prabhupada came to give us, then we need to also make a situation, organize society in such a way that all members of society can benefit. So there has to be a place for everyone. Everyone has a place where they can work, where they can be taken care of, where their needs can be met, and that can all be very intelligently devised according to the Vedic culture and according to Varnashram principles. Now, we may not be very close to that yet, and I dare say that we may not be able to and probably will not be able to fully revive Vedic culture as it was 5,000 years ago. After all, this is Kali Yuga, and it's a very, very difficult age to make an entire society and an entire culture work according to religious principles. But at the same time, we have the opportunity to give society an opportunity for a taste of that, to see how culture can be arranged in such a way, how a society could be arranged that can be based upon this principle of simple living and high thinking. So this eco-village that we're trying to develop here in New Ramanreti and the Goshal, as far as having a facility for protection of cows, is a small step. It's a small step to what Prabhupada talked about in terms of living completely on the land, you know, living on the grains that are produced by the bulls and living completely by the milk that's produced by the cows. It certainly is a small step, and we're not there by any means, and we don't pretend to be. But it is important to begin that process, to begin that step, to be able to, first of all, ourselves, to engage in the process of the protection of the cows and bulls, and secondly, to be able to show others how this is a different way that one can live, how there actually can be a culture based upon religious principles, based upon the idea that we can live in harmony with nature, not fighting with nature, not trying to overlord or control nature, but actually live according to the laws of God, accept what God provides for us, to utilize everything of God's energy in the proper way so it's not exploited, but it's taken care of. You know, because after all, we know that Krishna is the controller, proprietor of everything. So as Krishna's servants, we need to help in that process and also help to become those small proprietors, knowing that, of course, Krishna is in control of everything that's on this earth, to help care for it, to maintain it for the satisfaction of the Lord. So we have the opportunity, as we develop projects like this, to demonstrate a God-conscious lifestyle. Interestingly, many of our temples throughout the United States are beginning to either have done this process or are beginning this process. I also work with New Vrindavan, and they, of course, have had ups and downs in cow protection. At one time, they had a huge dairy and 500 cows, and that didn't work out, and that kind of really dwindled to the point where there were no milking cows there. And recently, they started up again, you know, where we had 6 or 8 milking cows, and now they're at the point where the board and the temple management has decided that they will only use protected cow's milk, cows that are raised by and protected by devotees for all of the needs of the deities and of the devotees' daily needs. They're not sure if they can do huge festivals completely with all the milk products and things like that, but at least, you know, for the most part, that is the intent, and that's what they're going to attempt to do. And also, you know, process the milk in different ways for ghee, butter, etc. So, of course, now they have, 1,200 acres and 600 acres of hay field and, you know, a lot of facility for taking care of cows. So they can do it in a large way. At our temple president's GVC meetings in January in Houston this year, we also had some presentations from Gita Nagri. They've really revived their whole program of milking and taking care of cows. How many cows, do you remember how many cows they had, like 28 or something, milking?
Yeah, there was like 28, 19,
yeah,
14.
But they had a lot.
Were about 19
and I think, and so they have enough milk that they're actually providing milk to some of the city temples. I think Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and some of the other city temples who don't have the opportunity to be able to have their own cows and their own milk, they're able to get it milk from the farms like that. So there's so many opportunities that we have in our ISKCON movement to try to fulfill Prabhupada's desire and Prabhupada's dreams, that we should really show the world how one can live simply, dependent upon the cow, protecting the cow, using the milk coming from the cow. So here in New Ramanredi, we have not so much facility, but we do have some land and we do have some ability to be able to do this. And of course, today's project was sort of the kickoff of this, where we can soon begin to have milk coming that will be supplying Radha Shyama Sundar with our own milk, which is raised by devotees, protected by the devotees. And that should be very, very pleasing to them. So, of course, the whole point of Varnashram Dharma, the point of simple living, the point of cow protection, in itself would not have so much value unless it were aimed at pleasing Krishna. So that is really the point. We are doing these things because this is what is pleasing to Krishna. If in all of our activities it's not connected to Krishna, then it has very little value. We know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, it says, Dharmax Vanushtita Pungsam Vishpakshena Katasuya Notpadaye Yadi Ratim Shrama Eva Hikevala. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So ultimately, the purpose of protecting cows, the purpose of developing Vedic culture and simple living, is for the pleasure of Krishna. Because this is very, very dear to Krishna. The cows are very dear to Krishna. And we want to give pleasure to Krishna by offering all of these things back to him. So the point is that these activities help us to remember Krishna and thus to become more God conscious and to advance in spiritual life. Unless that connection with spiritual life and our own understanding of Krishna and our service to him is there, then in itself, it's not so important. I mean, there are many groups that are into animal rights, or there are different people who may be different, even some people perhaps protecting cows. But if it's not for Krishna, if it's not for becoming closer to Krishna and to understanding our purpose of life, then what's the real value? In other words, then it becomes just a material thing. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example, the protesters thought they were very self-righteous, you know, that they are against war and the others are for war. He said, but if they're, you know, eating the cow, what's the difference? You know, they're actually part of the problem. They think that they're the solution to war. They're actually part of the problem that's creating wars. So in the same way, we want to make sure that all of our activities are God-centered, are Krishna-centered. They're aimed at giving pleasure to Krishna, you know, and in that way, our lives become successful. I wanted to read a final thing that Srila Prabhupada wrote. This is very interesting. This was a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave after a Brahma Samhita verse. And he really focuses on the last line of all the Brahma Samhita prayers, Govinda Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is what Prabhupada said about that. Govindam Adipurusham. We are a worshiper of the original absolute personality of Godhead, Govinda. Govinda. Go means senses, go means cow, and go means land. And Vindam means who gives pleasure. The pleasure potency of all of these three things, the senses, the cows, and the land. The proprietor of all land, the maintainer of all land, to give pleasure to the people of all land is Govinda, Krishna. And he is the protector and pleasing to the cows. You have seen many pictures of Krishna. He is loving the cow. Why is the cow loved by him? Why not another animal? There are many other animals. Why particularly the cow? Because cow protection is the most important business of the human society. In offering obeisances to Krishna, it is said, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, who is the protector of the Brahmins and the cows. The first qualification is that he protects the Brahmins and the cows. Next, he protects the whole world. Jagatataya Krishnaya. He is Krishna, Govindaya, this Govinda. So the example is set by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that human civilization will advance only on the basis of Brahminical culture and cow protection. As soon as there is fall down for Brahminical culture, and as soon as there is discrepancy in the protection of cows, there will be no more peace in the world. Therefore, he specifically says, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. This Krishna conscious movement is for the protection of Brahminical culture and cows. Then automatically, the peace of the world will come if these two things are done. So, again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes how important the protection of the cow is, not only for human society, but for the maintaining of Brahminical culture, or religious culture, spiritual culture. They go very, very closely together, hand in hand. And so any society that's a spiritual culture really cannot maintain and purport to even be a spiritual society or spiritual culture unless the protection of the cows is there. So again, this is an important moment for us. We are beginning the process again of milking cows here at New Raman Reti, beginning the process of protection of the cows and being able to offer the milk and other things from the cows to the deities and to the devotees. So again, we hope you all assist us in that effort and make this successful, as we are very determined to do that. And thus we will all gain the benefit of pleasing Krishna and advance in spiritual knowledge and understanding. Okay, so I'll end at that point. Are there any other comments or questions, or someone like to add anything? Lulananda?
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you for a wonderful class. Prabhupada says that in one of the writings that you read, that the simple living and high thinking is the solution for all the economic problems. And I remember reading an article on the front page of the New York Times several years ago, where a group of agricultural economists, they got together to understand the economical problem in the U.S., and they recommended that going back to small farms was the solution to all the economic problems, but not support what Prabhupada said.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think what we'll see historically is that so many of these ideas that Srila Prabhupada gave us will turn out exactly like that, you know, that they'll actually figure out that this is what works. These large agribusiness, it's like, you know, large conglomerates, multinational companies, you know, are buying up everything. The small farmers are no longer, you know, able to really compete. And sometimes there's some disastrous results. I don't want to go too far astray here, but it's a very good point. And particularly, some of you may have followed what's happening in India, as some of these large companies, don't want to name any names like Monsanto, but they basically you know come in with their genetically engineered hybrid seed and like that. And before the villagers, they grow certain crops. You keep a certain percentage of the seed back. You use that seed for the next year's planting. Well, they can't do that because you can't grow crop from the hybrid seeds because they revert back to their original strains and they're no good. They're useless. So what they find is then they're totally dependent upon these large companies, whatever they have to pay to get their seeds. So a very, very simple thing like that has totally disrupted the whole village economy in many, many places in India and caused all kinds of problems, economic dislocation like that. So again, getting away from the basis of simple village life, taking care of their crops, taking care of the cows like that. And we see that when modern intervention comes in, there have been terrible results. I've even read articles where people have had to lose their land, been suicides, been so many problems. And basically, once again, these large companies are taking over the whole agricultural industry.
I have a question, Prabhu.
Yes.
Prabhupada says that the milk is necessary for the finest brain tissues.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens if somebody is a vegan? They have no chance of going back to the spiritual world? How does that work?
Hopefully they already have well-developed intelligence because Prabhupada says right here, and in fact several times, that the higher brain cells and tissues and intelligence is actually developed through milk. Now, we had a very interesting, in Houston at the meetings, we had a very, very interesting conversation in there because there's been some debate where some devotees were saying, well, if we can't provide all our own milk for protected cows, we shouldn't drink milk at all. We should become vegan, But then the argument against that is, but milk is an essential part of human life. It's essential for the development of intelligence. And of course, Prabhupada, always did that, and hot milk in the evening like that. The devotees used to always do that. It was very common practice. So the only real solution is to protect our cows so that we can provide that protected milk. Can't speak about it. Okay, go ahead, and then we'll go back.
I just wanted to add the importance of the cow's milk, as you mentioned that it has been said that prevents the cancer. So I would just like to let you know that the cow's milk has maximum amount of one type of fat, which is known as ceramide. Okay. That is maximum in the cow's milk, and next is in the woman's milk.
Mm-hmm.
So we tested in our laboratory practically how the ceramide is important for prevention of the colon cancer. And we found that it can protect the colon cancer very nicely.
Really?
We have published a paper also.
Well, that's very interesting.
So
Thank you for
the highest concentration of the ceramide is in cow's milk.
And that's a cancer preventative.
It prevents colon cancer. We have published it.
Very interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. In the back here, Vigavati. Where's the study being done at UF here? Yeah.
Yeah. I was remembering that I lived at Gitanagari for many years, and Paramananda was the temple president for most of that time. And he had been at New Vrindavan when Srila Prabhupada came to visit, and he was working a team of horses. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, "Where are the oxen?" And he said, "Well, actually, at that time, we didn't have any working oxen. The horses, they walk very quickly." And Srila Prabhupada was very upset, and he just said, "Unless you work them, you will kill them." So I was thinking how it's so admirable from one angle of vision that many people are now thinking, oh, we so don't want to exploit the animals, so better we won't take their products at all. But if we're to set an example, if devotees in general and animal well-wishers in general, want to set an example for all of society, it's very important that we not only milk the cow and take the cow products, but also work the oxen and show how they're the natural mother and father of human society.
You're absolutely 100% correct. And in fact, Bala Bhadra, our former cow protection minister, he had retired because of health reasons. He made that point repeatedly, that we really can't have cow protection unless we also are using the oxen and protecting the oxen. That's the other half of the equation. Otherwise, it's not economically viable. And the problem is people give it up because it doesn't really work if you have to keep, have all these male cows and they have no use and you're just feeding them. And then so the milk price gets more and more expensive. The only way that it really works economically in a virgin Vedic culture is exactly what you said, because all of the cows were used, and in fact, even like the cow dung, the cow urine, I mean, everything is used, everything had value, and particularly so much of the work could be done by the oxen. Yes, thank you for adding that.
I want to mention, in India, so many places, they are producing cooking gas. From the cow dung,
Go bar, they call it, right?
It's a really, so when you mention we are planning to develop economical stuff and all, so it's really my suggestion.
There's so much value to the cows.
Yeah.
They're actually in the process. They had a plant, wasn't working so well, but they're getting a new one in Mayapur. They have a big goshal there. And they're going to be creating, using the cow dung, they're going
to
have this,
build
a big plant for the, it's like the methane gas, which you can use for cooking. You can use it for so many things.
They have one already in Overdone near Mumbai.
Yeah.
They have a biogas plant.
Oh, at the new farm that they have?
Yeah. They have a very nice biogas plant.
Yeah.
Supplying gas to the kitchen.
Yeah, this is actually very, very practical. There's so many things. Thank you for adding that. There's so many things like this can be done using the products from the cow. Okay. Did you? Go ahead, Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhu. We're talking about the cow protection and all of that. And that more stressing on killing the cow, right? But I tell you something. I was working on a barn, maybe about 200 feet close by me. And these people got maybe close to 800-900 cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I really stopped drinking milk, eh? Because they would put in 50 cows inside, milk it, turn it out, bring in the next 50. And every single cow I look at go into milk and come out. The breast was bleeding. Mm. They bleed so much. Every single cow, foot is so much cow blood. I stopped drinking milk. I couldn't handle it. But one thing strange, I supposed to build another barn for them, about 250 feet. And when I went back there, after the first barn, every single cow disappeared. I don't know what happened. The whole farm shut down.
That's a whole other issue, is the actual treatment of the cows. We know that's deplorable, and it's... because they're basically seen just as, like a factory, just like a commodity, just something to be used, rather than really understanding the cow is our mother. So we should end at this point. Thank you so much. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.